Hey there, it's Michaela LaFrac. Heads up that we've edited this podcast episode a little bit for you. Skimmed the fat, boiled it down. Hope you enjoy. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. A college degree can be vital to starting a career, but it's also extremely expensive for students and for the school itself. In the past decade, nearly a dozen Vermont colleges have had to close or merge, like Burlington College or Goddard. But the Community College of Vermont is charting a different path. Many of its students graduate with associate degrees and, get this, no outstanding student debt. The U.S. has nearly 1,200 community colleges, but CCV is the only one in Vermont. It serves more than 10,000 students a year. Today on the show, the unique history of CCV and the broader community college movement in the U.S. Joining us for the hour is Joyce Judy. She's been the president of CCV since 2009, and her career with CCV spans more than 40 years. Joyce, welcome.
Thank you so much for inviting me to join you today.
We're very glad to have you. And for the first part of this hour, we're also going to be joined by Scott Giles. He's the president and CEO of the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, which you might know as VSAC. He has some tips for us on making college more affordable and getting started on a career. Welcome back to the show, Scott.
Michaela, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And listeners, if you have questions about college tuition or how to apply for CCV or one of the programs we're about to discuss, give us a call at 800-639-2211. We'd also love to hear your story if you benefited from one of these programs. Again, that number is 800-639-2211. You can also email vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Now, Joyce, Vermont has a lot of higher education options. There's private colleges, Vermont State University System, UVM, technical colleges, lots more. How does CCV fit into this landscape?
Well, first of all, we are the only community college in Vermont, and that makes us very unique in that we don't have a central campus and then many different satellite offices. We have 12 different locations. But in terms of us within the higher education environment, we are part of the Vermont State College System. And so there are two colleges now within the Vermont State College System, Vermont State University and the Community College of Vermont. I think many of our listeners know that Vermont State University came into existence a year ago, and it brought together the legacy campuses of Castleton, Vermont Technical College, Johnson State, and Linden State. And so those four schools came together. Well, Linden and Johnson had become Northern Vermont University. But then as a next evolution, they became part of Vermont State University. So now within the Vermont State Colleges, we have two colleges. We are the community college and then the more traditional four-year institution. And then there's one other public institution in Vermont, and that's the University of Vermont, who we do a tremendous amount of work with. And then, of course, there are a number of privates where a lot of our students do transfer to the Champlains, to the Norwich, to St. Mike's. In some ways, I think of CCV as the open end of the funnel. We help so many people get started in their college career, some for whom that's all they aspire to. They come to CCV, they get a few credits, and they leave. Some get an associate degree and then transfer on to the University of Vermont or Vermont State University or to Champlain, complete their bachelor's degree, complete their master's degree. We just recently heard from a student who had just finished her PhD at Stanford. So, you know, we help people get started and launch them, and then it opens so many doors.
College higher education is expensive. Baseline, how much does it cost to go to CCV or to take one class there?
So to take a class, we charge by the credit, and our credit is $280 a credit, and most of our courses are three credits. I always say to people, when you're planning to do some financial planning, you should plan around $1,000 a course. That's a little high, but when you factor in textbooks and other costs, that often is, if you're budgeting, that's a good budget figure. But so within the state of Vermont, that is significantly less than you'll find a credit anywhere. But nationally, we are higher education in Vermont is expensive.
Yeah. Scott, talk to us about that. The cost of college, of higher education in Vermont, perhaps compared to other states in the country. Do we know? Scott, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Sorry. I wasn't sure who you directed that towards. Yep. So, you know, Vermont for many, many, many years has, spent less per capita on post-secondary education than nearly any other state in the country, with perhaps the exception of New Hampshire. And one consequence of that has been that particularly our public institutions have higher tuition, fairly substantially higher tuition than students would experience if they were living in other states, particularly in the Midwest and in the kind of the West Coast. It creates one of the, you know, the core challenges that, that we have been working on over the course of the last probably 20 years, but also is one of the main reasons why 802 Opportunity, which we'll get a chance to chat a little bit more about, was created, because it is a solution to this challenge for the vast majority of Vermont students.
Mm. Yeah, tell us about the 802 Opportunity Grant. It's one of the reasons why we're excited to have you on today. It's a relatively new program. Is that right, Scott?
Yes, this program was really born during the pandemic. And one of the things that the pandemic did for us, much like the financial crisis, was show the economic premium that's associated with having education or training after high school. It reconfirmed that, nearly every Vermonter is going to need something. And the Community College of Vermont, as you've already touched on, is such a special and important player within the state of Vermont, partially because of, locations across the entire state. It has experience with online education that many of our other institutions did not have. But just as importantly, they're equipped to handle all students. And I think Joyce leaned into this when she talked about her oldest graduate. But oftentimes when we have these conversations, we think predominantly of what we refer to as traditional age students. But CCV is particularly effective, and I would say actually the best in Vermont, at educating adult students, working adults. And 802 Opportunity recognized that many of these adults during the pandemic discovered that they didn't have the skills they needed in order to be successful. Cost was a major barrier. And so we collaborated together between our two institutions to approach both the governor and the legislature with a proposal that would make CCV tuition free for a little over half of all Vermont households.
So that's households that meet a certain income threshold. Judy,
that's
can you tell
right.
us, or Joyce, can you tell us a little bit more?
Yes. So any family or individual that makes $75,000 or less is eligible for the 802 Opportunity Grant, which, as Scott said, allows them to come to CCV at no cost to them. And so this has been huge because it essentially represents half of all Vermont families. So it's both, sometimes when we talk about the 802 Opportunity Grant, people automatically go to the traditional 18 to 20-year-old. Oh, that's available to them. But no, this is available to all Vermonters, whether you're 55 or whether you're 18. And so if you or your family makes less than $75,000, you are eligible for this program. Hmm. I also just want to put in a plug, if you earn more than that, there are many, many opportunities that we, and at CCV and at VSEC, we will work with you to make education affordable for you.
And there are a couple other programs, as you're mentioning, Joyce, that we'll hit on later in the show. We'll also speak with a student who's part of the Free Degree Promise program. But let's learn a little bit more about the cohort of students that uses 802 Opportunity. Joyce, what do we know about the students who use this grant to get their degree?
Well, I would, more than 2,600 students accessed this program last year. The average age was 30. So we had some in the, 17, 18-year-old, but we also had many, many older adults who were, I think sometimes when we think about students who access CCV, it's just such a diversity of students. So we have a younger student who is just starting out and thinking, I can't afford a traditional education. I want to continue my education, or I'm not yet ready to go away to school. They can start with CCV. Then, and so they can access the 802 Opportunity Program. Then we have the adult who's working, who has hit a, you know, plateau in their current job. And in order for them to get to earn more money, to get that promotion, they need to continue their education. So 802 Opportunity is available for them. And then you have the person, we have, we oftentimes see a lot of people who have had a job where they have now hurt on the job and they need to come back and get retraining because they need a different career. That is a CCV is available to them, and 802 Opportunity is available to them. So when I talk about that, 802 Opportunity is available to all Vermonters, whether you are just starting out as a young person or you're middle-aged.
And this is a state-funded program. It was part of the state's base budget in this last legislative session. Scott, how much does it cost the state?
That's a great question. So it costs the state about kind of $3.5 million, a year. But with that money, we were able to support over 2,600 Vermonters this past year, essentially pursuing their certificate or degree programs at CCV for free. So it's an incredibly cost-effective way for us to address some of the really critical workforce development needs we have here in the state.
Yeah. Speaking of workforce development, Joyce, what are some of the more popular paths of study for people who use the 802 Opportunity Grant?
And, you know, just before I answer that question, I just want to also acknowledge that of the 2,600 students that took advantage of Vermont Tuition Advantage, almost 75% of them were the first in their family to enroll in college. Hmm. So it really provided some real opportunity. But, you know, at CCV, we have a significant number of associate degrees and certificate programs. And so people can come and they can earn their certificate, they can be working on their associate degree. Popular programs are things like cybersecurity. They can get a cybersecurity certificate, they can go on and earn an associate degree. Early childhood education is something that has been a major focus in the state of Vermont. We provide certificates all the way through associate degrees, and then we partner with a number of four-year institutions for students to go on and get their bachelor's degrees. Things in the manufacturing field, we offer a certified production technician certificate, and then people who are interested can continue on in engineering at, say, Vermont Technical College. So there are what's popular, it sort of runs the gamut in terms of, as you think about what are the needs of Vermont's workforce, those sort of match up with what students are enrolling in at CCV.
Oh, cybersecurity. That's what I wasn't expecting to be at the top of the list.
As you can imagine, it is a growing field, and the jobs that are out there are really available, and they're well-paying, and people are very interested in that.
Wow. Well, Scott, we're obviously late August at this point. The school year is just around the corner. Talk to us about the timeline for somebody who might be listening and saying, this sounds like a really interesting program. I actually think I might be able to afford taking classes through 802 Opportunity Grants. Can people still apply? Do they need to wait till next year?
No, absolutely. And one of the great things about partnering with CCV is that it's never too late to apply. So if a listener is interested in getting more information, both our organizations partner really closely together. They can reach out to us by calling our toll-free number at 1-800-882-4166 or go to www.bsac.org to get more information. If they kind of prefer to do it that way. And they can also reach out to CCV. Our counselors work jointly together, and we can help them not only access the financial aid, but help them map out the career and education path that will make the most sense for them.
And Joyce, I'm curious if this is a program that was modeled on any other ones that you have seen outside of the state of Vermont. I mean, Scott talked about how it was kind of born out of a need that was kind of discovered or spotlighted during the pandemic. But is this something that is unique to this state?
This program is unique in the way it's crafted, but we are not pioneers in providing financial support to residents of a state. So, like, for instance, Massachusetts has just implemented free community college tuition for all Vermont, all Massachusetts residents. There are other states where they focus primarily on providing really direct support for jobs that are high demand jobs. So it really, most community colleges are public institutions, and I think that there's the growing recognition that people need education beyond the secondary level. And when I say education, it's not always college, but it is continuing your education past 12th grade. So it could be apprenticeships. Apprenticeships are incredibly popular. It could be going into the military. The military provides a lot of education, but it's really committing to continuing to learn past past high school. And so many jobs, and so many of the jobs here in Vermont simply demand that. And so what we try to do is work really in close partnership also with businesses. As we talk with businesses, what are they looking for currently? But more importantly, what are their needs as they develop and expand in Vermont in the future? Because we want to keep all our employers here in Vermont. Mm. And one of the things that they need is they need an educated workforce. So in some ways, you can think of higher education, yes, it's an investment, and it is about, you know, continuing your education, earning your degree. But at a very broad level, it's about economic development. Because if we don't have people in the state that have the education that Vermont businesses need, they begin to look elsewhere.
On that note, this is a taxpayer-funded program. And to close, I'm curious to hear from both of you how you would define success for the 802 Opportunity Grants. I mean, like, the fact that 2,600 people used it last year, that sounds like a big number. But without context, like, what does that mean? How do you present to the legislature, to Governor Scott, to taxpayers that, you know, this is the right way to be funneling money into our education system? Joyce, let's start with you.
Well, I would say the success is the fact that there were 2,600 Vermonters who wanted to invest in themselves and invest in education is hugely successful. Because if it wasn't that opportunity, they wouldn't have continued their education. And then I think you look at employer satisfaction. Are employers getting the employees that they need with the skills that they need? And so many of the employers that we work with, you know, they are referring students to CCV. Go and get this course. You're currently a bookkeeper. We need a higher level bookkeeper. Come, go and take some accounting courses at CCV. We'll pay for that. The same way, we partnership right now with, we're in close partnership with a lot of healthcare entities, but I'll give you an example. At Central Mont Hospital, CCV, Vermont Technical College, and Central Mont Hospital have partnered together to create a pathway for employees who are in jobs, administrative jobs, environmental services, who aspire to be nurses but don't have the time or the money to invest in themselves. Central Vermont is paying them to continue to work and go to school at the same time, and we're doing it right on site. It's a wonderful partnership. And what's happening is every year there's 15 or 20 more nurses at Central Vermont Hospital because of that program. That's hugely successful.
Mm. And Scott Giles, instead of adding on to Joyce's answer there, I'd love, with the time that we have left with you, to ask you a question from a listener named Paul, who writes, is there a ceiling to the age someone is eligible for the 802 Opportunity Grant? I'm 75. My income is below 75K. Can I take advantage? Scott?
So the short answer is no, there's no income cap. And I think Joyce has kind of alluded to the fact that we have, you know, many older Vermonters who are not in a position where they can retire, but they've discovered that they need skills in order to be able to continue to work. I've shared a story in the past that is near and dear to my heart. This was a woman who was working in landscaping. She was in her early 60s. She'd become injured. She couldn't afford to retire. And because of the availability of a bookkeeping certificate at CCV, she was able to pursue that certificate, and her employer, when they discovered what she was doing, said, hey, we've got a bookkeeping position we've not been able to fill. when you're done, we'll just move you over to the bookkeeping position. And that was year-round as opposed to seasonal, full-time job with benefits. So we're seeing Vermonters at all stages in their life take advantage of this. I think it's part of the beauty of the program.
Scott Giles is the president and CEO of VSAC. Scott, thanks so much for being with us today.
Michaela, thank you so much for having me. Joyce, congratulations on your anniversary.
Anniversary.
Yes, my husband and I are celebrating our 47th anniversary, and I was married when I was 8. I just want to be really clear.
Congratulations. Scott, thanks so much for being with us. A note as well that VSAC and CCV are both Vermont public underwriters. So far in today's show, we have discussed the Community College of Vermont's present. Now we'll get some context for the nearly 55-year-old school by digging into its past. We have CCV President Joyce Judy with us, and joining us now is Doug Wilhelm of Weybridge. He's a former reporter for the Boston Globe and the author of more than a dozen books. His latest is an in-depth history of CCV called Kind of a Miracle, the Unlikely Story of the Community College of Vermont. Doug, welcome.
Thank you, Michaela.
Are you a CCV alum?
No.
Well, oh, no, that was a rhetorical question to our listeners, but I'm glad to know as well, Doug. No worries. We want to hear what your experiences were like at school. Do you have any advice for incoming CCV students or students considering CCV? 800-639-2211 is our number, or send an email to vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Well, Doug, now that I know that you are not a CCV alum, I'm curious why you were interested in writing about it.
Yeah, well, I'm a freelance writer. I've been doing this in Vermont for more than 30 years. And so over the years, I've done projects along with books, various projects for the higher ed community, from UVM down to Sterling College, the smallest college in the state. And about 15 years ago, I did two or three projects for CCV. I really didn't know anything about CCV. I just thought it was like a regular community college. I grew up in New Jersey, where we have one in every county. And it's, you know, it's a commuter college. Each one has a campus. You drive to it. Looks like a college, except the students don't live there. But when I did these projects, I interviewed current students and alums, and I was really impressed with the differentness of CCV. The thing that really stayed with me was I learned that a typical CCV classroom will have everybody from high school students all through all the stages of adult life. And I thought about what a rich and unusual classroom that would make. I went to a regular, you know, college, small college. It was a good school. But everybody in my classes was 19, like me. And we all thought we knew all about the world. And, of course, we knew nothing, you know. And had I been in a classroom with people in mid-career, people going through career changes, people who were veterans, all these different perspectives, I just thought about what a great experience that must be. So that, when the opportunity came around, when CCV was turning 50, and they wanted to, they were interested in having the story told before the first generation of pioneers who'd created this, what was then a radical experiment in reinventing higher ed, before they all passed on. We wanted to capture the story, and I was very interested in doing it, so that's how it came about.
Well, that learning opportunity for both young adults and older adults together in the classroom reminds me of an email we got ahead of today's show from Sandal in East Montpelier. They write, "I attended two wonderful courses at CCV about 10 years ago after retiring from teaching. They facilitated retirees taking classes with a low fee to just cover registration costs. One was about Irish history, the other about Vermont ecology. The joy of those classes was that at least half the group was high school seniors taking coursework for free. So we had two types of seniors in the class, and the younger students were very sharp and, of course, much more tech savvy than us retired seniors. I think both generations learned a lot from each other as well as from our instructors. CCV made it very comfortable to register and to attend classes both in person and online. It was a great early retirement activity." Doug, CCV was founded back in 1970, and I was really interested in reading your book, in learning about the community college landscape leading up to that time, including the fact that the Northeast and Vermont was kind of a latecomer to community college, right?
That's right. Community colleges started first in Chicago area, the very first one, and in California was big. In the South, they were big, but for decades, there were no community colleges in Vermont and hardly any anywhere in New England. In the late 60s, there was a big push to expand access to higher ed by promoting and building new community colleges all across the country. And I don't know how many were built, but there were dozens and dozens. And in Vermont at the time, it was a pretty poor state. Economic opportunity was hard to come by, especially for people in rural areas that were far from the interstates. And so it was not really feasible to build a traditional community college that people could commute to within a mountainous state. You know, people didn't have really money to travel. So the idea was, why not reinvent the whole idea of college? Instead of asking students to come to one location, we would bring college into the communities. We would find people in the communities who would teach what they knew, their expertise, their careers, and we would find students, and we would ask the students, what do you want to learn? And build programs, build classes, courses, and opportunities around what students wanted to learn, so that instead of a student having to form themselves around, fit into the programs of a college, the college would form itself around what students wanted and needed to learn. And at first, it was all going to be free. Students were going to pay no tuition. All teachers were all going to be volunteers. And everybody told them they were crazy, that this could never work. The experts said there's no way. There were no models for a no-campus community college that would draw on the resources of a community to provide, meet community learning needs. So they just decided to go ahead and start. And the first courses were in Montpelier and in Barton up in the Northeast Kingdom. I remember one of them was hairdressing, one was understanding human behavior. And there were 150 students at the very first,
wow.
Spring 1971.
Those are two very different courses.
Yeah.
And very different as well from the most popular courses that you listed today, Joyce. I also learned from Doug's book, Joyce, that many of the early teachers were volunteers.
They were, and in some ways, it was a time of true accountability, because at the end of a class, they would pass the hat, and if you had if you felt like it was a good experience, you could put money in the hat, and whatever was at the end of after the hat was passed around, that money went to a faculty. So
it's like a street performer.
It was a street performer, and if you didn't like it, you didn't put money in the hat, or if you couldn't afford to. So yes, so at the time, this was sort of Governor Dean Davis's vision of how do we create a community college and take education to Vermonters in a really rural state, and it's not about creating one campus, but rather taking people to. Taking education to people. And, that was the very beginning of our faculty. CCV is very unique in that we have 100% part-time faculty, but they are our faculty, and they are an incredibly important resource. And the reason that we, some people say, well, why don't you have a full-time faculty? But to do what CCV does today, we wouldn't be able to do it with a full-time faculty.
Right.
Because if you have, we have a location in Bennington, we have one in Newport. If we have a course, an English comp course that needs to be taught in Bennington and Brattleboro and Newport and St. Albans, you can't ask a person to drive around. So it's been a very unique and interesting model. But we are very clear that our faculty are not adjuncts, because they're not adjunct to a full-time faculty. Our part-time faculty are involved in governance. They are just very important to us.
Let's take a couple calls here. We have Abby in St. Johnsbury. Abby, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey there. Excuse me, sorry. I just graduated from CCV this summer with my degree in early childhood education. I started at CCV in 2018 through the high school college classes program. And with the critical occupations grant and the 802 opportunity grant, I was able to get my associate's degree, which affords me a lot more opportunities in my field of work.
That's great. Thank you so much for calling in, telling us about it. We have somebody else on the line who I think might have a parallel story, Brenda in South Burlington. Brenda, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to say that my daughter attended CCV this summer because she's on her way to be a certified public accountant and has a job offer through Ernst & Young. But to be a CPA, you need 150 credits undergrad, and she had 120 from her undergraduate education, which we paid several hundred thousand dollars for at Babson College in Wellesley. So she needed additional credits, and she took a ceramics class and a personal finance class this summer. And what was great about it is that she liked the people that she was taking the class with, and she thought the teaching was excellent. So it was a tremendous value, and it filled a very important role for our family because she could get the credits she needed for her credentials for CPA.
Mm. Well, Brenda, thank you so much for sharing that, and I'm glad your daughter is on her way to a new career. Let's go back in time a little bit more here. I was also really interested, Doug, in your book to learn about CCV's founding president, Peter Smith. Our listeners might know him as a state senator, lieutenant governor, congressman for Vermont. And amazingly, I thought he was only 24 years old when he got this gig with CCV.
Yeah, there were three applicants for the first presidency, and he said he was the most qualified of the three, which gave you an idea of the quality of the pool. But it was a radical experiment, and the first CCV office was a room in a condemned wing of the Tavern Motor Inn in Montpelier. They didn't even have a phone, and he had to run an extension cord into the room from outside to get power. So it was very, very bare bones. And again, nobody thought this would work. So Peter was a visionary, and what I learned about him, a lot of things, but one thing that really struck me was that he was a leader who wanted ideas, wanted creativity, didn't have to run the whole show, take credit. He wanted people to step forward with their ideas. And that has been continuous through CCV's history, that creativity, ideas, experimentation have been continuously encouraged and welcomed. And I think that really speaks a lot to the spirit and why it has become a thriving college when other colleges are struggling and even going out of business.
Mm. We have a call coming in from Montpelier. Ben, you are on the line. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Hi, my name is Ben. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm actually an instructor at CCV. I've been there about 15 years. It's just been an amazing experience. The students are always very motivated. I've taught elsewhere as well. I've had some of my most intelligent, brilliant, engaged students at CCV. My question is more in the realm of, you mentioned the word feasibility there, one of your guests there. Mm-hmm. We have the lowest birth rate in the country, and we have for a while now. I used to be able to drive to St. Albans in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, 10 years ago, and I'd have 20 students for, a basic social science class. Now, in areas like Montpelier, it seems when my classes do run, it's barely over the threshold of 7 or 8 students, and they tend to be mainly high school students. And I noticed that the only classes that fill up with kind of healthy numbers, 12, 15, 20 students, tend to be my online classes. So I was, and it's also my understanding that a fair amount of the CCV sites throughout the state either don't offer any courses or they offer very few courses in-house, and the buildings tend to just house a lot of administrative staff. So I was just wondering, I'm hearing all this stuff about thriving, this, that, and the other, and I'm just wondering what your guests have to say about that.
Ben, thank you so much for your call. I'm going to turn this to CCV President Joyce Judy.
And Ben, thank you. Thank you for raising this issue because it is of concern. The birth rate in Vermont is dropping, and, the pipeline of 18 to 50-year-olds in Vermont is not growing. What we have been trying to do is prior to the pandemic, 40% of our courses were online and 60% were in our centers. We were trying to find the right balance between how do students want to learn and how do they want to access it. Then, of course, we had the pandemic, and everything had to revert to virtual. And then, as we've come out of the pandemic, what's been very interesting is, we put out a course list every year, or three times a year, three different semesters, as you know, and we offer courses both online and on ground. And students choose the modality that they want to take. You can take Introduction to Psychology in person at this day on this in this place, or you can take it online. what we're finding, even though we're trying to increase and bring back a lot more of our in-person classes, we are seeing more and more students opt to learn virtually or remotely. And so we are trying to find the right mix, but in essence, students get to choose with their pocketbook. They decide how they want to access the learning. And so you are correct. In some of our really small locations, we aren't offering in-person courses, but what we're seeing is a lot of students still want to access their services in person. They just, because of their, you know, as you know, most of our students work. So trying to fit in work and going to school, sometimes they have found as a result, one of the silver linings of the pandemic is people have figured out that they can access and learn remotely and are choosing to do that. When we talk about thriving, our enrollment actually has increased, even though our in-person numbers are not where they were prior to the pandemic. Our overall enrollment at CCV has increased. This summer, we were up 6% over our previous summer. So I appreciate your comment about, you know, the in-person versus remote courses, and I would love it nothing more than to have a different balance between in-person and remote, but in the end, we provide what students want.
Let's add one more voice to the conversation. Donovan Arnold attended CCV's early college program, and he's currently enrolled in the Free Degree Promise program. He graduated from Richford Junior and Senior High School this past June, and he's on track to receive his associate's degree in accounting next May. Donovan, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I hear you started taking college courses in high school. What pushed you to do that?
So what pushed me to start doing college my senior year of high school was just the fact that my high school years, I was almost done with all my credits. When I started CCV, I only had 2 credits left for high school. So my push was, well, if I have the opportunity to take college classes and that can contribute to my high school classes, I'd rather advance my education than just stay in high school.
Was it hard to balance a college course load with high school life?
Yeah, it was. Some of the challenges I faced at first was just the change and like difficulty, because the college classes are definitely more difficult than your traditional high school class, but it's challenging in a good way. Since it's like it's classes that you're more focused on wanting to take, and it just really pushes you more to do those.
Yeah.
And then I guess another challenge is just sometimes like your social life might take a little hit just because depending on what you do, you probably just won't be able to see your friends as much. But with the program, you do get more freedom. So outside of your school hours, you can see them.
Yeah, it's hard to balance, I'm sure. And the CCV courses you were taking were all online. I'm curious how you liked online learning compared to in-person in high school. What were the pros and cons?
So the pros of online learning compared to in-person learning was, as I mentioned a little bit, the freedom that you can get.
Yeah.
And flexibility. Like for me, I was able to actually, while doing college classes, have a part-time job to help save up money for my time outside of CCV. And also me doing online allowed me to more freely work on college at my own pace and be able to do it during my own time.
And are you thinking about continuing your education after you get your degree from CCV?
Oh, yeah, I would love to.
What would you like to do?
So right now, I still need to decide where I'm going, but I want to go to get my bachelor's degree. And then after my bachelor's, I'm hoping to go for my master's.
And lastly, Donovan, before we let you go, any advice for someone thinking of taking advantage of the same program that you did and starting college courses in high school to start working towards that career?
Yep. The advice I'd like to give is always be sure to check your emails for updates and stuff, because you're not going to know if, like, an update to your assignment might happen, or if the teacher just wants to give you, like, a reminder. Make sure to always, like, schedule out your work throughout the week, because depending on how much classes you take, at first it might look like you have a lot to do. But if you plan it out throughout the week and get small bits done at a time, it'll be much easier and you'll have a much better time. And then my last advice is to utilize all the resources that CCB provides to you. We have the teachers and professors that you have are very helpful if you have any questions. And especially my last semester, I took the CCB librarians were very helpful.
That is Donovan Arnold, who attended CCB's early college program at Richford Junior and Senior High School. He's currently enrolled in CCB's Free Degree Promise program and is going to receive his associate's degree in accounting next May. Donovan, thanks so much for joining us.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Check your email. That's good advice for all of us, probably. Doug, one of the things that I find so interesting about this conversation is the fact that, you know, at least here on Vermont Edition, we've done a lot of shows in the last year or two about colleges in this area closing down, merging, changing the way that they work at a fundamental level in order to deal with the very intense financial struggles that they face. I'm curious for your take on how CCV has managed that over the years. What's different about their model?
Well, Joyce can speak to how they've managed it financially, and that's probably beyond my area of knowledge. But one thing that I learned in working on this book is that CCV in some ways presents a model for how higher education can adapt. We're losing about on average one college every week in America right now that's closing. So that's a lot of attrition, and higher education clearly needs to adapt or change or in some ways reinvent itself to serve a changing world where people need to learn throughout life, not just between the ages of 19 and 22. And people often have to balance work with college. They don't always have the opportunity to complete college in one stretch. They need support to go to college. If you're a working mom and you got three kids and you want to go back to college, you need a lot of support. So CCV has pioneered the idea that college could be for life, not just for 4 years. You could come in and maybe you can go for a while and then you can come back 5 years later, and that can work and you can get support. CCV has full-time advisors. Their faculty is part-time, but they have student advisors at every center that work very hard with students of all ages to solve the problems and help them to make college work in their own lives. And they also, CCV also has this distributed presence where they blend online learning and in-person learning. And I think those are keys to the future of higher education is college for life, support for adult learners of all ages, and blending online and in-person learning.
And also perhaps learning from the past can be helpful too. I learned in your book that in the late 70s, CCV almost closed. What happened then?
Well, there was not a lot of receptivity to CCV among the higher education establishment in Vermont at the time, because the CCV's courses were, at first they were free and they were always much cheaper than state college courses or private college courses. So there was real animosity and resistance. And there was an effort in the legislature in, I think, 1979. I think it were two separate efforts. There were bills introduced to shut CCV down, to zero out their funding. And it was quite a dramatic story that the hundreds of CCV students came to a hearing at the State House and completely filled the well of the House to protest this, wrote letters to the editor, papers all over the state, and the effort failed. CCV survived, but it was a near-death experience.
And Joyce, we have just a few minutes left here, but I do want to note the fact that, you know, you're the college's you're CCV's president now, mm-hmm. A position you've held since 2009. You started at CCV in the 80s in Springfield as an academic advisor. Mm-hmm. Is that right? How have you seen the public's perception of community college change over the decades?
You know, in some ways, I think that the public perception of CCV mirrors the public perception of many community colleges' journey over the last 40, 50 years. And I think, you know, as Doug has talked about, you know, our early years were a little shaky. You know, we were trying to find our footing. In some ways, you can also think of the community college movement as a product of the 60s. You know, learning for learning's sake, isn't this beautiful? You know, we can all, everything will be free and it'll all be fine. And then I think, you know, as we began to get more serious about education and realizing that we were providing people with tremendous opportunities that if they didn't go to CCV, they wouldn't continue their education. And so one, you know, as we emerged in the 80s, more and more of our students, we were serving at the time primarily women. And, you know, our students were demanding more. They wanted to graduate from CCV and they wanted to continue their education. And so we had to get much more serious about what we were offering. Yes, we wanted to make sure students were prepared when they left CCV for their next step. If they were going to the University of Vermont or going to Vermont Tech or wherever, we were doing them a disservice if we weren't offering a robust and highly academic quality program. And so it was just one of those, it's been a gradual shift. But I think, you know, in the end, it's been our students who have told our story. Our students go on to do great things. And so that's why we've been accepted in the higher ed world. That's why we are seen as a resource to businesses, because students do incredibly well. Mm.
Doug, now that you've written an entire book about CCV, are you motivated to go back to school yourself? What class would you take?
Well, I often say that college is wasted on 19-year-olds. I wish we could all go back to college. Yeah, it would be lovely because learning is precious. And the longer you sort of, you know, work and raise a family and do all the things you have to do as a grown-up, the more I think that you value it. That's certainly been true for me. I wish I could go back to college. It would be great.
Joyce, are you going to take a class anytime soon?
Probably not, but I do have a quick story.
We had just about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, we had an 85-year-old taking a class, a Vermont history class.
Oh, wow.
And she just, so many of the examples that the faculty member were giving are things that she lived. And so she was able to just add so much color to the class, to the 18-year-olds. We got more comments from that class about how alive it was.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that with us. Joyce Judy is the president of CCV, the Community College of Vermont. Joyce, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Michaela. This has been fun.
It's been a pleasure having you in the studio alongside Doug Wilhelm, the author of the book Kind of a Miracle, The Unlikely Story of the Community College of Vermont. Doug, thank you.
Yeah, this has been great. Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow on Vermont Edition, we are going to put a pause on summer ending and tell stories from summer camp. We're going to learn about camps that operated in our region this summer, including ones for children with special needs or who are facing life challenges. If you went to camp in this region, tell us about your favorite camp memory. Campers, we know you have a million stories and you love this question, so write out your answers and send them to us at vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Today's show was directed by Mary Angish. Our managing producer is John Ahrens, and our show is produced by Andrea Lorien and Daniela Fierro. Our call screener today was Rick Barrett, and our theme music is by Myra Flynn. I'm Michaela LaFrac. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch up again soon.